Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow, New York Mets broadcaster Ron Darling on the advent of Citi Field. Wednesday, we start an April series on the 21st century skyline. What is New York today after a decade of nonstop building? A lot to listen for every day at 10 a.m. And when it comes to the economy, President Obama has called on Americans to, quote, put good ideas ahead of the old ideological battles. But there's one old battle it sounds like the president, well, maybe just isn't ready to fight yet. Here he is answering a question from last week's online town hall meeting.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience. But I just want, I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy.
The audience liked it, but even if the president won't take the question seriously, we will. And here now to ask the question, well, why isn't it a good idea, is Ethan Nadelman. He's the founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network. That's a group that advocates for the reform of drug laws. Dr. Nadelman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me on, Brian.
So respond to the president there. I mean, let's just talk about marijuana. I know you're into a lot of other kinds of drug laws as well. But were you surprised, were you disappointed to hear the president laugh off that question, which really got voted to the top by the online participants?
Well, I'll tell you, I was pleasantly surprised to see it get to the top of the list of online participants. Same thing happened when the White House put out their change.gov website during the transition period. Same, you know, so there's a lot of interest, a lot of desire to have this issue taken on in Washington. And I have to say, I wish the question had been worded a little better, that it had said, you know, do you think this would actually be, you know, save taxpayers money and be a good step? And maybe he would have given a more responsible answer. But the fact of the matter is that if President Obama had actually said something reasonable about marijuana policy, had said, sure, of course we should debate it, I think that would have been the next day's headline. And he knows the last thing he needs now is a headline like that. That said, it's a little like the whole issue with, you know, when FDR came into power and all the labor leaders and civil rights leaders went to see him and they were telling him what he had to do and what he promised to do. And his response to them was, listen, I'm with you. I agree with you. Now make me do it. And that's our job right now. You know, 40% of Americans say make marijuana legal. It's our job to kick that over 50%, get it to the point where Obama feels it's politically safe for him to step out.
Do you want to make it completely legal and treat it like whiskey?
Well, basically, yes. With respect to marijuana, I think we have to move in that direction. I think that what happened with the repeal of alcohol prohibition, where federal prohibition was removed and states and localities were free to experiment with their own regulatory models, you know, ranging from Utah and 17 other states where you could only buy booze in state-run stores to California where you could buy almost anything at any time, I think, and where Mississippi stayed dry until the 60s, I think we need the same diversity of approaches today. I mean, I'll tell you this, 800,000 people arrested last year on marijuana charges, almost 40% of all drug arrests in the country. The government's spending billions of dollars a year to enforce these unenforceable laws while we could be taking in billions in these times of severe state budget deficits. I think change is needed here.
How would you tax it? How would you regulate it?
Well, as I said, Ryan, I would leave it up to states and localities to figure that piece out. You know, I mean, states vary in their alcohol policies and in their cigarette policies, for that matter. I think you want to have a lot of local discretion. You know, I don't have one size fits all, one
but
model.
Give me an example. You've been on the front lines of this for a long time. You live in New Jersey, right? How would you have New Jersey do it?
How would I have New Jersey do it? Well, let's put it this way. I think that from my mind, and I'm thinking especially about California where about this, is that my model for how this would emerge is to think about the way that the high-end cigar market or the wine industry is. You know, you go to Mendocino or Humboldt County now, and a lot of those guys dream of it becoming the Napa Valley of marijuana. Same thing's true in Jamaica. I would not like to see this stuff, marijuana, being sold in packets of 20 in vending machines. I don't think that's the right way to go. I don't want it being marketed for this high and that high. But I think a responsible, sensible policy, like we're seeing with respect to cigarettes, which are far more dangerous, but we still keep legal appropriately, or with respect to alcohol in the tougher control states. I like what the Dutch have done. I mean, the Dutch haven't legalized the wholesale side, but the retail side is. So I think we move in that way of a smart, intelligent controlled policy.
Can you really say, and just dismiss it at that, that cigarettes are much more dangerous than marijuana? Marijuana does, after all, have a behavioral element, and people have done really horrible things when they're high.
Yeah, although the vast majority of them have kind of watched a movie, listened to music, made love, taken a walk in the park. Nobody's ever died of a marijuana-related overdose. You should not smoke marijuana and drive, but it's vastly less dangerous than getting drunk and driving. A whole generation of Americans, from newborns to people in their 40s, are growing up with parents who, you know, when their kids go out, when they're teenagers, they're worried about them going to a party with lots of booze. They're scared to hell if they should start smoking because they know how severe that addiction can be, and they've seen people die of it. But when, you know, 17, 18-year-olds are smoking the occasional joint, most of us know that's not going to be a problem. They're not going to go on to use harder drugs. You know, you don't want them waking and baking every morning. You don't want that sort of thing going on. But by and large, the greatest risk for most Americans with respect to marijuana is getting arrested and getting a criminal record.
Listeners, are you ready for the legalization of marijuana? Forget about cocaine for now. Forget about heroin. Forget about ecstasy. Forget about any other drug. Legalization of marijuana. It was voted the number one question to ask President Obama. That means there are very active marijuana smokers out there. There's an organized community. But this was the number one question voted up to the top by the people participating in President Obama's online chat on Friday. You heard that clip of how he dismissed it. Ethan Nadelman is here, who advocates marijuana legalization. Good, bad, or indifferent. If you're a parent of that 17-year-old who Ethan was just talking about, are you ready to have this conversation in a different way with your kids? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Ralph in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ralph.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. I just can't understand how it hasn't been legalized. I mean, this is one of the biggest cash crops in the United States. It actually doubles the cost of soybeans that are produced here. I mean, soybeans is a very large cash crop, and marijuana actually doubles it. Now, part of that is based on a black market price of like $500 an ounce. But what I can't understand for the life of me is how this hasn't been legalized yet. And it's all based on the rantings of a former Treasury guy named, I believe his name was Harry Anslinger, and he started the original prohibition against this. And if you ever read any studies on marijuana that aren't conducted in the United States, thanks to the drug policies here, but have been conducted in the Lancet, it proves that it's no more of a gateway drug than nicotine or alcohol, and that, like your guest said, there's never been one documented death from marijuana overdose. And while it does
do you think that's whitewashing a little bit to say there's never been one death from a marijuana overdose?
Well, I mean, one could possibly associate certain accidents on the roads or whatever with it, but in terms of people dying, the way die of overdoses associated with alcohol or heroin or cocaine, never been one. Never been one anywhere in the world, so far as we know. I think he's basically right. Harry Anslinger, the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics beginning in the 1930s, was not the first champion. In fact, these marijuana laws began with prejudice against Mexican Americans and Mexican migrants in the Midwest and Southwest in the teens. What keeps it in play, I think, is just people have grown up being accustomed to this prohibition. Unlike with the repeal of alcohol prohibition, people cannot remember a pre-prohibition period, and therefore their fears run rampant. But I'll tell you something. There were three public opinion polls in earlier this year by CBS News, by Zogby, and by Rasmussen Reports. They all found 40% or more of Americans say it's now time to legalize marijuana. That's almost a doubling from the 1980s. Out west, it's approaching 50%. Among Democrats, it's now roughly 50%. So this is no longer a fringe issue. This and is no longer, by the way, just people who like to smoke marijuana. The people who believe that marijuana prohibition's time to end has come includes a vast number of people who never smoked marijuana or don't smoke it now. It includes people who have liked marijuana, people who don't like marijuana, but all of whom agree that the marijuana prohibition is fundamentally counterproductive.
Adam in Seacliff, you're on WNYC. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree, but I think one point that hasn't been brought up is marijuana, unlike tobacco, is a lot easier to be grown privately for personal use, and I think with legalization, you would just have a lot of people just grow it personally. Now, I don't think that's bad or anything, but I think that's perhaps why government isn't so quick.
Well, I think, you know, it's just like alcohol. People are allowed to make up to a certain amount of alcohol for themselves, families, and friends, so long as they don't start marketing in a major way. And I think whether or not marijuana is legal or illegal, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people who grow their own. Ultimately, if it's legally available in regulated stores, I think you'll see ultimately most people buying it there. But you do want to retain the right of individuals to be able to grow a few plants at home and to make their own.
I know, and thank you, Adam, I know you didn't like the way the question was stated to the president on Friday in the online town hall meeting, but what about the issue of whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy? I've heard some people quote a stat that it is really the number one cash crop in the United States in terms of how much is bought and sold. I don't know if that's true, if it really rivals corn or whatever else, but can you put a dollar figure on the amount of revenue that the federal government or the state governments would be likely to realize if they did legalize and then tax marijuana sales like alcohol
sales?
Yes,
Brian. The best estimate is that federal, state, and local governments are spending $10 to $20 billion a year enforcing the current marijuana laws and foregoing roughly $10 to $20 billion a year in tax revenue. So this would be a major boon. As one of your callers said, a lot of that high price is because of the black market price, the fact that it's inflated because of illegality. But even so, this is a huge cash crop from California to Vermont to New York to Tennessee to Kentucky or what have you, and we could have a major dent in the state budget crises if, in fact, we flipped our policy.
Now, last week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton traveled to Mexico as part of the Obama administration's efforts to help Mexico curb its drug violence, and she said this.
Our demand for drugs is what motivates these drug gangs. I mean, if they didn't think they were going to make a bunch of money across the border, they'd go into another line of work.
So we keep hearing about these drug wars along the Mexico-U.S. border, might even affect the United States, might destabilize the government of Mexico. Maybe some of that is hyperbole. But make your case. If pot alone was legalized, how much would it defuse the drug cartel violence?
Well, I was struck around Christmas, Brian. The Attorney General of Arizona, Terry Goddard, fairly conservative guy. His father was a governor. He's considered a possible governor. He came out and said, look, I'm not saying we should do it, but given how much money the Mexican cartels are making for marijuana, maybe we should think about making it legal. A few weeks later, the city council of El Paso, Texas, right on the border, said we need a national debate on this stuff. A few weeks ago, Loretta Sanchez, who chairs one of the congressional subcommittees on national security and the border, said this, basically the same thing. And, you know, and I'll tell you, yesterday on Face the Nation, Barack Obama got asked about Mexico. And he said, well, you know, it's like those days when we sent Elliot Ness in to get Al Capone during Prohibition. Now, he wasn't bringing the obvious punchline, because sending in Elliot Ness, like the aid to Mexico, is like the surges in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's an urgent response to the crisis at the moment. But in the long term, no amount of surges is going to solve this problem. You need a fundamentally different policy, and we need a national debate about making marijuana legal.
Do you have any kind of rough stat on how much of the drug business from Mexico that keeps these drug cartels getting rich is from marijuana as opposed to cocaine?
I have no hard stats, but I have been stunned at the extent to which people like Terry Goddard and people in the U.S. government are saying that it's over 50% of the Mexican drug trafficking revenue comes from marijuana. I don't know if it's true, but that's the government's numbers, not mine. And I'll tell you, that means it's the first time ever that legalization of marijuana, which is already supported by 40% of Americans, actually presents itself as a realistic partial solution to drug-related violence abroad.
Josh in Westchester wants to go up the generational chain here, I think. Josh?
Hi.
Hey.
I have two teenagers. I live in Westchester. You know, on the one hand, I would be concerned about the kids getting pot and smoking if it were legal. But, you know, to just pretend that it wouldn't, you know, kids are drinking constantly, and there's really nothing we can do about it. We've tried. Every parent tries. And the same thing would happen with pot, but I think we're just sort of sticking our heads in the sand.
How about the parents in your neighborhood? Are they smoking pot?
Absolutely. You know, I'm always amazed when I start to get to know some parents in the town and we start chatting, and to find out how many people used to smoke pot and still smoke pot and would probably do it more if it was legal.
Where are they getting it? Are they driving to some remote corner of the Bronx in an unmarked Zip car or what?
That's a really good question. You know, I try to just stay away from that discussion. I mean, I don't buy it. I don't know where to get it. But, you know, people get it. Either they're walking in the city somewhere and they get it, or they have some connection, or they have a friend somewhere who lives in the country who grows it. I mean,
Josh,
they get it.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh in Westchester. Thank you very much. Where are all these middle-aged baby boomers getting there?
Well, I'll tell you something, Brian. I grew up in Westchester. I only tried marijuana a couple times in high school. I really started smoking when I went to college. But I'll tell you something. Right now, you have tens of millions of American parents who are smoking marijuana in the bedroom or behind closed doors, putting the towel by the door. Meanwhile, their teenagers are doing the same thing. And it's a kind of a collective lie that's going on. So far as I know, more and more parents in America, when you ask them where they're going to get their marijuana from, it's oftentimes from their kids. Because the kids forever and ever had fantastic asset, 80% access, 80% of all American high school seniors consistently say for the last 40 years, it's easy to get pot if you want it. A little tougher for their parents, which is why I think parents oftentimes have to look to their kids.
You know, you could tell by who voted the questions up, or by the fact that the question was voted up to number one at the president's town hall meeting on Friday, who's active, who really wants to get in. And that's how talk show call boards wind up getting dominated by people with one point of view. Well, almost everybody who was called in this morning has been pro-marijuana legalization. So we are going to call on Antonia in the Bronx, our only caller at this moment, who is a skeptic. Antonia, thank you for raising your voice.
You're welcome. I am a psychiatrist, and I worry a lot that people talk about how marijuana is dangerous because it's a gateway to other drugs. I don't think that's true. But it is true that it's associated with a higher risk of schizophrenia. And we don't know if it's causal, but there's no question that when you look for people who emerge with schizophrenia, they have a significant marijuana abuse, much more than the average. So I think we have to know the information, and I think nobody talks about that in the discussions about legalization. It's certainly what I worry about. I have teenage kids as well, and it's the thing I tell them.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point, very good question. There are definitely risks associated with marijuana use, and there have been some recent studies showing some association between heavy use of high-grade marijuana and schizophrenia. But it was very interesting that the Dutch scientist who came out with one or two of those studies showing a link, when asked, well, what do you think about marijuana policy then? His response is, well, I think that's all the more reason why we should make it legal, because if it's legal, we can regulate it, and we can know the quality and that sort of stuff. Keeping this thing in the underground makes it only more dangerous without making it any more inaccessible.
Antonia, thank you very much. We're just about out of time. You know, with all these marijuana users voting this question to the top of the list for the president on Friday, I wonder, what's in marijuana today? I thought it was supposed to make you laid back and apathetic. Are they lacing marijuana with meth?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I mean, marijuana is one of those drugs which 90% of people who use it can use with no problem. For some people, it's an enhancer, right? It's an enhancer, Ryan, which means that it enhances the senses, enhances taste, enhances many pleasures and enjoyment, but it can also enhance things like depression or mental illness. So it can enhance the good, enhance the bad. At this moment in American politics in 2009, politically, people are charged up politically, and marijuana is something that associates people in their minds with justice and righteousness and the fight for the American way.
Well, justice, righteousness, the fight for the American way, a big smile on the face of Ethan Nadelman as he makes his case, the founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network, a group that advocates for drug law reform, including the complete legalization of marijuana. The president did not take the question seriously when asked on Friday. We did today. You can continue to post your comments, pro, con, or mixed, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dr. Nadelman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We are going to bring you live coverage in just a few minutes of President Obama announcing the restructuring deals for GM and Chrysler. So stay with us. Obama as Mr. Goodwrench next.